Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to those who are new. Welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Good to see everyone this morning. Father, we praise you. We worship your name. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just open up your mouth and praise him. Hallelujah. God, you are great. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You are in this place. We worship your name, Father. We come to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him. you, Jesus. We surrender all to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We surrender all to you. We worship your name. Hallelujah. Savior, we surrender our lives to you. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender every situation to you. We surrender our will to you. We surrender our families to you. We surrender our bodies to you. Jesus, Jesus, help us surrender all to you. Hallelujah.
Thy power.
Feel
Thank you, Jesus. Most High God, all-knowing God, all-seeing God, everywhere present, all-powerful, we surrender our lives to you now. We surrender every care, every need. We surrender all to you. We say, Father, have your way. Have your way in our lives. For we wait on you, Lord. We wait on you. You know us better than we know ourselves. You see our past, our present, our future. Everything about us lays bare before you. And Lord, we trust in you, the God who loves absolutely, to address every situation that faces us, even before we ask. For we recognize, O God, that your grace is sufficient. Be God in our lives and help us. Be merciful, Father, in loving kindness and your tender mercies. Help us. For we rest, O God, in you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before Mama comes, let us hear, I Will Wait. Can you do it?
When I walk, I won't grow faint. When I walk, I won't grow faint. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. We wait on the Lord. Well, God day, everyone. That time we pray for our children. And if you are sick, ask the Lord to touch you at this hour. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for another wonderful day. This is the day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, God, that this is going to be a glorious day for us because our Father has made it for us. Thank you for all our families, all our biological families, spiritual family, partners, extended families, and children who are standing here before me, and everyone from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, from age 120 plus to zero, minister your grace to every one of us. Touch our lives. May we yearn for you and long for you. May our heart and our soul long for you. May you touch us and may we know you and the power of your might. Lord, move in our lives. Touch our lives. Let our time with you be powerful. Let our time with you be thankful. Let our time with you be productive. In the name of Jesus, bless everyone as they go to their various places during the week. Minister grace to them. Keep everyone healthy and whole. Those that are sick, we declare you, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Let your body begin to work well for you. In the name of Jesus. And those that are sick in the hospital, we send your healing virtues to touch them. The things that are attacking their body, that they will leave them now. Let the power of God invade their cells, their blood, their organs, every part of their body from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, including their brain cells. In the name of Jesus, that they will rise up from their bed of affliction to be in the house of the Lord, magnifying and praising your holy name. We declare the Lordship of Jesus. The Lord reigns. Somebody say, the Lord reigns over my life and my household. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, bless you, children. See you later. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And all your spirit. For the words you speak, they are spirit and life. We receive you now into our lives, our homes, our city, our nation, our church, and everything that concerns our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I think our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 45. There's 17 verses, so you got to catch up. Praise the Lord. Psalm 45. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. May you have that kind of a tongue that will speak good things and prophesy good things and worship the Lord and say glorious things to the King of Glory. Say amen. Verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God, bless thee forever. Say, Lord, pour grace upon my lips. Say amen. You need grace for your lips. Verse 3, get thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Verse 4, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. May you do exploits with your right hand. In the name of Jesus, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Say amen. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. May you be free from all wickedness in the name of Jesus. And may you hate wickedness and not practice wickedness in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Verse 8, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Somebody praise the Lord. God likes good smell. So stop stinking. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Kings, daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon the right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. May the women in your family become honorable women. In the name of Jesus. And may they be clothed with the best. Say amen. Where God, we are the children of the Most High God. And he has a standard for us. May we become the queen that God called us to be. Say amen. Even men, you can say amen so that your daughters and your granddaughters and your great-great-granddaughters will become the children of the Most High God. Verse 10, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. The things that are still pulling you, that are of iniquity, that are of no good, from your father's house, that you're still behaving contrary to the word of God, may God cleanse you from all of them today in the name of Jesus. May you be of your heavenly father's house. Say amen. Verse 11, so shall thy king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Say amen. Say, Lord, make me beautiful. Well, guys, you can say, make me handsome. inside out, amen? You can look so good outside, but you are like a monster. May God make you beautiful inside and out. Say amen. Verse 12. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Say amen. Say amen. Not you begging for favor, people coming to look for favor from you. Say amen. That is a good place to be. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. May this be for every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins in her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. Say amen. Hallelujah. So that means you don't get to be wearing patch clothes. You get to wear beautiful, well-made clothes. May God do the provision. May you enjoy the provision. That goes for both men and women. Say amen. Say amen. God, at the end of the day, God only has sons. So when he's describing, because this is the practical part, we live on earth, so while you are still a lady, going to your home or going to your married house is preparing you for this is how you should be. Say amen. I don't know why it gets so quiet when truth is being heard. You just say amen. It's a good thing. It's not us saying it. It's God saying this to us. So we must receive what he says to us. You can't fix yourself. He has to fix you. So you say, Lord, fix me up. Say amen. Say, Lord, fix me up. Verse 15, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Say amen. So where you belong is not in the rat palace. You belong in the king's palace. May God put us in the right place. Put us in homes that are beautiful. Put us in place where we are comfortable. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. So you see, the men are going to be princes. Anywhere they are princes. He said, in all the earth. May God raise our sons, raise our husbands, raise our family, male lineage, to be princes in anywhere in the earth. Say amen. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. May God cause our names to be remembered. Don't visit earth and leave just like that, and nobody knew you were ever here. May you make a difference in somebody's life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. May we leave a mark for our generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, Almighty God. We turn our hearts to you, O Lord. There is no other to go to but you, Almighty God. Touch our hearts. Cause us to walk with you. To really follow your precept. Follow your ways. Give us understanding about who you are. The things you have spoken about us today, may they be made manifest. May we operate as the king's daughters and as the king's sons. In the name of Jesus, may we become queens and kings. May we become princesses and princes that rule and reign all over the earth. Lord, that the best comes to our lives by your hand and by your doing. You even care about our raiment. You care about our palaces. You care about our lives. You care about our heart. You care about our soul. You care about our body. We surrender it all back to you. Have your way and be magnified and glorified forevermore. Let the outcome of our lives please you. Cause us to make a mark for our generation. Not people who are known as evil people, but people who show forth your glory, who show forth your beauty. Make our lives beautiful in every way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that we shine forth before our families, before our fathers and our mothers' home, before our generation, before our neighbors, that they will say, God is truly with them. May the beauty of Jesus be in us, be seen in us, and flow out of us. In the name of Jesus, that Jesus may be glorified and magnified forever and ever. Father, we now pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Prosperity to her palaces. Lord, you reign over Israel. You reign over Jerusalem. You reign over God's people. Remember your everlasting covenant. Lord, if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, only you can fix what is going on in Israel. Minister your grace to your people, Lord. Save your people, Lord. Lord, you have guaranteed that you will never forsake your people, Lord. You will never leave them. Even when the world forsakes them, you are with them. Lord, show yourself mighty, Lord. You are the same God who defeated Pharaoh. You can defeat any modern-day Pharaoh. In the name of Jesus, Father, do what only you can do. Save your people. Your word has guaranteed that all Israel shall be saved. We say the same thing, all Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Israel, your firstborn. Remember your people, Lord. And remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For you will bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. Lord, let your word be made manifest. Lord, out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. We receive that blessing for the nation of Israel, nation of Canada, Nigeria, United States of America. We receive it, O God, for even Russia, Ukraine, Palestine, and every nation where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord today. Save your people even in troubled lands, that they know they have to turn back to you and call upon your name, that they will enjoy peace. We speak your peace and your shalom. Things that need to be fixed in the nations, raise righteous leaders. Raise men and women who will stand with God's standard, that the nations will turn back to you, that there will be revival in the land. In the name of Jesus, be in the service this morning. We open up our hearts to receive your holy word. Let it come with power, grace, favor, mercy, and truth. Let your healing virtues flow. Let your prosperity flow. Let your goodness flow. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who publish your word by telling somebody about the goodness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, Apostle.
Last Sunday, we began exploring the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And I went through what I might call the introduction, going through the first three or so verses. I am not going to revisit it like I did last week, because if I do so, I'll be going even deeper, and we need to get to the second part. It may surprise you that this chapter is addressing a particular issue, and that issue is the issue of service. When we first start reading this chapter, we just think about the spiritual components that the Word of God is trying to bring to our attention. For it starts out this way, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I'm pleading with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want you to make note of that statement. Present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service. Now, that statement there in verse 1 is the primary context that we must look from, the glasses that we must look from, the prism that we must look from as we go through the rest of this chapter. Then it says, and be not conformed, or don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be ye transformed, metamorpho. And I spend a lot of time explaining what that means. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God there again tells us how we must position ourselves. First of all, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which is the least of reasonable service. Now it's telling us that we should not be conformed to this world. We should not follow allow ourselves to be poured into the mold of this world or follow the systems of this world, but rather that we be changed. In essence, therefore, the Word of God is saying to us that the natural default point for us, when we have not given ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, is to act worldly. Is that okay? That's why you need to change, because you're worldly. You think earthy. You try to do things the world way. And one of the things plaguing the church today is that the church is trying to become like the world rather than standing steadfast of the kingdom of God and causing the world to want the light. We're turning off our light, dimming down our light, getting more dark so that they can relate. God has not called us to relate to the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. When the Word of God is preached, it is there to convict us so that we change. We don't change the gospel or the Word of God, tone it down so that the world can say, I guess I can live with that. No. The Word of God is the Word of God. The standard of God is the standard of God. God says, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm holy. He says, be ye perfect. Because I'm perfect. The word, God doesn't say, just beat around, whatever will be. No, he says, you be like me. Is that too much? Okay. If that's too much, go ask God. He gives us the power to live like Him. He says we are His offspring. He says to us that as He is, so are we. And that's how we must see ourselves. We must be changed by the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. Someone say renewing. Say it again, renewing. Say anakinosis. Anakinosis. Okay. That is renewing. What does that mean? It means that our minds need to be renovated. Praise God. There's got to be a renovation. Anakinosis. A renovation. When you renovate, you have to tear some things down. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says, casting down every imagination and everything that stands against the knowledge of God. That's what the Word of God does. It comes in there and begins to rip things off. Have you ever watched one of these building or whatever programs when they're renovating and they bring the sledgehammer and they pow! Hey, save that! No, pow! Well, that's what God wants to happen. Knock off some stuff because they got to go. Amen? And if you want to hang on to it, you cannot be the child of God. Let me say that again. If you want to hold on to the old life, you cannot be the child of God. If you want to be the child of God, you have to allow the Word of God to renovate, to renew you, to dismantle certain lifestyles. Hallelujah. It got to go. Praise the Lord. You've got to allow God to extricate you from that entanglement that the enemy wants to tie you up into. Be renewed in your mind. The transformation happens because your mind is being renewed. How? By the Word of God. How? By the Word of God? By you allowing yourself to obey what the Word of God says. Now, we must separate conviction from condemnation. When God's Word convicts you, it's not there to condemn you. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or the Word of God. For the words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. That means that if you walk after the flesh, there is what? Condemnation. If you are convicted, God, by His Spirit, is doing it to bring you to a new sphere. But condemnation, you only will experience. Let me say it again. Condemnation, you will only experience. Let me say it a third time. Condemnation, you will only experience if you are not walking after the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God will convict you so that He can restore you, so He can bring change into your life. But if you want to hold on to your old life, you will be condemned by the Word of God. And actually, the Word of God says, it is not even He, the Word of God, that condemns you. You will condemn yourself in yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the Word of God goes on. It says, by this we are able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And then verse 3 says, for I say through the grace. I'm saying through the grace. I'm saying through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, this is a setup. Because now, remember, We need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. And now when he comes here and he says, I'm saying to everyone through the grace that God has given to me, to every man, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. There are two things going and being presented to us. But the primary thread I want you to see here is the primary thread of service. Because the point he's making is, Mr. Big Shot, cool it. Just chill. Be a servant. And I'm going to expound on it based on the word in just a moment. Because many times we think we are too big to serve. That is beneath me. Let somebody else do it. If that's your thinking, you are not presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. God's call is for us to serve. And he says to us, are you ready for this? Because it's a living sacrifice, he knows that you are going to let go of certain things that you need to do or should be doing, but because you are sacrificing, you're going to need faith to believe that the time that you are sacrificing, that God is going to reward you and cause you to abound and accomplish more. Are you together now? Okay? So there are times you're going to let go of certain things, but I need to do this. I need to make some money. And God says, live in sacrifice. Serve. But how am I going to make it? I'm going to cause the little that you have, the little time that you have, I'm going to cause you to accomplish so much time, so much results in that little time, that the time that you thought that you sacrificed ends up being like nothing. That makes sense? Okay. That's what he's talking about. Now, that statement, the measure of faith, is a measure of faith that is capable of moving mountains. If I speak to the mountain and the mountain is removed, I don't need a bulldozer working 24/7 trying to move the mountain. Do you know how long the bulldozer and the sledgehammer and whatever else is going to take for that mountain to be split and to be moved one truck after the other? When gone, it's gone. Hallelujah. The measure of faith. If you have faith, even small as a mustard seed, you are going to say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. What does that mean? It means that sometimes you're going to be speaking and it looks like nothing is changing. But your faith in God keeps you steadfast, focused. This is what God says will happen. So I keep on saying it. And it's like a sledgehammer hitting. And all of a sudden, it splits. Now, having said all of that, he now comes to the main point of service. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or assignment. So we being, present tense continuous, many are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. We are members one of another. Be renewed in your thinking. We are many but one. Hello. He says we've got to think that way. We are many but one. And every one of us has a particular gift that God has given to them. And they need to use that through the exercise of faith for the benefit of the one. Are we together so far? Your gift may be different from mine and mine from yours, but it is all meant to serve one. I have hands, I have feet, I have a head, I have organs that you cannot see physically. I have lungs, I have a heart, I have a spleen, I have a pancreas, I have a large intestine and small intestine. I have nerves, I have cells. Every one of them are different. Praise the Lord. But I need all of them to work together by following the control system that is coming from the head. Yes? And our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now that head goes through and connects, or the brain connects with the spinal cord that runs right through. And it's interesting, it's in the back. Because the point is, when you follow the lordship of the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you have the backing for your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It runs through the gamut of the system. And God says, you're a member, but you're one body. So we being many are one body. We are many, but one body, where? In Christ. And everyone members one of another. Wait a minute. What did it just say? We are members in one body in Christ Jesus, but we that are members in Christ Jesus are members in each other. So I become your hand and your feet. You become my hand and my feet. Are we together so far? So we are entangled. We are put together by the Spirit of God. For what purpose? For service. Whatever grace I carry is inside of you. And whatever grace of God is inside of you, when you are giving it sacrificially, is inside of me. We are inside of each other. And it is our inside, being inside of each other, that makes us become those that are in Christ Jesus, because He is one body. So when you hurt, I hurt. When you celebrate, I celebrate. There's something they call in science, the butterfly effect. Which means that something can be happening here and at the other end of the world, Whatever it is that I'm doing here is impacting whatever it is that's happening at the other end of the world. They've proved this scientifically. Now, the same thing is happening, that when, if anything is about to happen to you, I shall have a sense of it and begin to pray about that, so that that is warded off. That makes sense? Because we are one body. Now, if my big toe is hurting, my whole body responds to that. Did you know that? Now, there's something. I don't know why the Lord wants me to go here, but let me go there. You see, when a woman is pregnant, she begins to do some exchanges in the cellular system with the baby. And this is what science tells us today, that when those cells are formed and are in the system of the woman, that whenever anything attacks that mother, those cells from the baby go and attack whatever it is that's trying to mess around with the mother. At the time of pregnancy, this takes place. It's incredible. It's amazing. Because that baby and the mother says, "We won." And the interesting thing about this study is this, that even when the child has been aborted, the cells are still there trying to protect the mother. So when the word of God says, by, look at the amazement of God's word. It says, by childbirth, shall the woman be saved. It's in the Bible. Because God has put a system in place where we, as members of one another that have been born of God. You see, we've been born of God. And therefore, anything that wants to attack the Lord, we as members of the body go after that thing. Anything that wants to attack the body of Christ, we go after that thing and stop it on its tracks. No. You cannot do that. You're trying to speak negativity into this body? No. You're trying to lie into this body? No. You're trying to steal from this body? No. You go after it, you attack it, and you rip it apart and subdue it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? But what does a cancerous cell do? A cancerous cell divides just like the cell that gave birth divided, but it divides to attack the body. That's cancerous. Every day, cells, I don't know how many days now, maybe it's 90 days or maybe a little bit longer than that. All the cells in your body change. Huh? All the cells. So about every 3 months, you're a totally different person than you were 3 months before all the cells in your body changed. What was the idea of God? The idea of God is so that you can stay forever young. Praise the Lord. Change, renewal, allowing the word of God to sweep through you, in and out, in and out, in and out, and changing everything, removing every garbage. You know, because that is so, we are not meant to be sick. Because every sick cell was supposed to have been purged out. But when we don't align ourselves with the word of God and recognize that I am part of you and you are part of me, I'm meant to serve you and you're meant to serve me, when we don't have that heartbeat, that drive, that passion, then instead of being together, we turn apart. And the word of God says, when you're not walking in love, you eat each other up like dogs. God is calling us to serve. Amen? He says, we are all different members, having then gifts, different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. How? According to the proportion of faith. According to the proportion of faith. What is the proportion of faith? The measure of faith. But what is that measure of faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. For the word of God says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. That is a statement of the living sacrifice. Let me say that again. I am crucified with Christ. That is a statement concerning the living sacrifice. When Jesus went to the cross without a sacrifice, it was. Okay. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me and gave himself for me. And the word of God says that he is sending us like the Father sent him. Sacrificial living. Early this morning when I came, just have a quiet time, I started reflecting on some sacrifices that have been made in this house. Everyone serves in different ways, according to the measure of faith. But I'm standing right here on this altar, walking, feeling very secure. But did this thing just happen? It happened because of individuals that gave of their time, their finances, their sacrifice. They could have been working somewhere else or doing something else, but they came here and for weeks invested time building this structure. This large LED screen that you see behind me didn't just show up. It came in little pieces. And sons in this house who've never built an LED wall, spent time putting it together. You know how much money we saved? So how much should I give to you for your service? Nothing, nothing. But if I raise some funds from the church so that we can just bless you guys, no, 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 no. And it wasn't one of those, you know, say, no, no, no. But when you give it to them, say, thank you for not listening to me. They really meant it. It was their sacrifice. They spent time. I was thinking about one of them. He'd retired. Early retirement. And when he retired, we had all these things that we needed to do. And he now had the time to do it. If he wasn't available, one person couldn't have done it by himself. That was a sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, there are different others that have served in diverse capacities. Whether it's the worship team that comes and spends extra time ministering. The fact is, every one of us that are part of this body of Christ have to have a place where we are sacrificing. If it is not a sacrifice to you, it is not God worthy. Everybody is called to sacrifice. And if you're prophesying, spend your time focusing on God, give me a prophetic word. Let me, O God, be able to speak into the lives of your sons and your daughters and bring to them what they need to hear the thing that they need to hear when they need to hear it, so that they are empowered to accomplish every purpose that you have for them. That is the grace God has given to me. I pray and I see visions. Lord, oh God, when I come to pray now, Father, show me something. Show me something. And you hone into your particular gift. You don't start looking at other people and what other people are doing. I like that better. No, no, no. Whatever God gave to you is what God gave to you. And he was smart and wise and knowledgeable about you to give you what he gave to you. And he intends for you to use that gift the way he intended for you to use it, so that he can graduate you to something else. But if you are not faithful in your little, how is God going to give you anything more? He's giving you prophecy. Prophesy according to the proportion of faith that is given to you. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Wait on it. God has called me to minister to people. Spend your time focused on that. Because when your part is needed, it needs to be working. It needs to be working. He that teacheth on teaching, God's called you to teach. Spend your time studying the Word of God more than anybody else. Understand what is happening. Be able to communicate it so that lives are impacted by your teaching. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. If that's what God has given to you, do it. Exhort. Encourage. Not everybody has the same thing. But everybody has something. Now, let me back up a little bit. The fact is, because we are members one of each other, even though my calling may not be what your calling is, if you are not functioning in your calling, because I am in you and you are in me, God can cause me to grab what is inside of you and use it. Hands are meant to pick up things. Feet are meant to walk. The other day I was in a particular setting and I had my glasses in my pocket, and I went into this pool and doing something there in the pool, and my glasses fell off my pocket. I didn't know it. I left and I'm like, where's my glasses? Oh, I think it might be in that pool. So I went to the pool and I'm looking where I was. There was my glasses. And somebody saw it and said, I see it. I see your glasses. And they went there to where my glasses were. And they put their foot on my glasses. I said, this woman just smashed my glasses. But no, she had grabbed it with her big toe and pulls it up. See, here it is. The feet did what the hands should do. The reason she didn't go with her hand is because she didn't want her hair to be wet. So the feet will do. And I got my glasses back. And everybody's, because she did an extraordinary work. Hands should have done it, but feet did it. But either way, it worked. If you don't have hands, your feet can hold the spoon, and you might just be so agile because your body is beginning to function together that you start feeding yourself with your feet. But that's not the use of the feet. Do we understand? We don't need people functioning in roles that they do not need to function in, because you are not spending your time to find out what your assignment is and doing your assignment. Everybody has an assignment. Everybody has a gift. And you need to use it. You won't believe it, but once upon a time, I wrote lots of songs. I had an amazing voice. I say once upon a time. Guess what happened? I did not use my writing gift, and my songs have been recorded. I did not use my writing gift. I did not keep on singing the way I should, and now I croak. So I'm beginning to ask God again, God, will you please give me back my voice? Please, I need that voice back. I need it back. I need that capacity to write again. Help me, Lord. I put the gift that you gave to me aside. You see, when God gives you gifts, it's not meant for you to drop aside. You're supposed to continue with those giftings, those capacities. Where did that gift go? It went to others through the laying on of hands. Huh? Through the laying on of hands. When you're laying hands on people, praying for them, gifts are being impacted into lives. This morning, I was getting ready for church. I was home, and I started thinking. 7 chords. 7 chords. Major chords. And all the billions of songs that have been written, sounds, from just 7. We're not counting the minor and the whatever other chords. When will lyrics stop and different melodies? They will never stop. There's always another melody, because it's all working together. working together. What's inside of you, you don't know. But inside of you, and it will come out when you are willing and ready to serve. As you are serving, things that have been deposited inside of you start to come out because you are willing to surrender yourself and sacrifice your time to serve. How many minutes do you spend in praying for your fellow brothers and sisters? You spend time just, God, I thank you for your church. I am part of your church, your body. There are things that you have given to me that are meant to be served to your people. Father, I've received the grace, and through that grace, I'm willing and ready to sacrificially give of myself, of my time, to serve your people. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing on my life to reach the masses in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, oh God, I just come before you right now. Father, endue me with your power. Father, your word says money answereth all things. Lord, give me money. Your word says wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. You've given me your gift of righteousness. I declare wealth and riches are in my house. Father, help me to know how to dispense of that which you have given to me to impart lives. Who is it that you want me to be a blessing to today? Father, I'm going to church this Sunday. Father, who do you want me to be a blessing to? When we change and we are beginning to position ourselves to be vehicles through which God can minister to others, God begins to dispense into our lives what we need. You will never have an empty shelf. Do you understand what I mean? Even the natural world knows that they have to do some checking on whatever it is that they have in stock. And if the stock is going low, they place an order. So that there is not a time that they should run out of anything. Hallelujah. The body of Christ must not lack anything when Jesus is our good shepherd. Amen? He says, let him that giveth do it with simplicity. You mean there are some people that God has given the gift of giving? Yes. Everybody gets to give, but there are some people that have the gift of giving. And God says, just do it quietly, in simplicity. Don't make any noise about it. Just do the thing. Praise the Lord. He that ruleth with diligence. That's a very interesting word, because this word for diligence here means to do it speedily, in a focused manner. You call to rule? Don't drag your feet. Make the decision already. Hallelujah. You don't need a board of 20 people to beat the horse to death before you know that you need to make a decision. There's some decisions you just make the decision because you know it's a God decision. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are some decisions I have to make. I just make the decision because I'm ruling. I make the decision. And it is done. How do I make that decision? By faith. You've been given the measure of faith to make the decision. Hello. Praise the Lord. And there are other decisions I cannot just make by myself. I need a board to help make that decision. But I tell you what, if I look to the board for every decision, the chances are you might not be sitting in the chair that you are sitting on right now, and you might not be watching that on the big screen, because everybody's going to have their idea, and by the time you finish, the faith is gone bye-bye. It took wings and flew off. No, you make the decision with diligence. I heard God say, bang, done. If I didn't hear God say, in the multitude of counsel, make a decision. Amen. I didn't hear God say anything to me about this. So, this is a decision we all have to make together. Because God did not say. Praise the Lord. He that showeth mercy with what? Cheerfulness. Ah. So that is a gift too? Yes. See, when the person with mercy comes around and the person that ruleth with diligence wants to make it swift, and mercy comes around, mercy says, peace, peace. I know you want to make that decision, but peace. Paul makes a decision. John Mark, you're not coming with me. Get out of here. You're fired. You're fired. And here comes Barnabas. Cheerfully, mercy, and embraces John Mark and shepherds him, ministers to him. And would you know it, later on, Paul is saying, oh, John Mark, he's the guy, he's the guy. He's my best. Oh, if he, if we had followed your rule, pow, you would not have had a John Mark to celebrate. Amen? So whatever it is, you know, that you've got, bring to the table. Sometimes somebody wants to go off the rack. Bring the balance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By the hearing of the word of God. It was not an act of, well, hey, Barnabas, listen. I did this for a reason, and you are going against what I said. Who do you think you are? And I get into a fight. But allowing mercy to do its thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. We function together. The left hand is not the right hand. Will we agree with that? But the left hand is a hand, and the right hand is a hand. If you've got two left hands, you're a freak of nature. Yes? It won't work. That's not how it's supposed to be. Every one of us has different gifts. But the common factor is that it has to be presented as a living sacrifice unto God. It has to be engineered, not based on the world and the way the world does things, but based on how God wants things done. By allowing the word of God to be precedent over every decision, and every decision accomplished by faith. Amen? So it says in verse 9, let love, and this is a key factor, because remember, faith worketh by love. And love is what is causing us to serve. Now, this is no different from the statement of the Lord when Peter said, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? That's how he starts. Who do men say that I am? What are they saying? Oh, well, they say this, you're Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, blah, 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 and so on. But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ. Amen? You're the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father revealed it to you. And upon the basis of this truth, I am going to build my church, and the gates or the government of hell shall not prevail over my church. Now, we've thought about that statement, thou art the Christ. And Jesus saying, upon this truth, I'm going to build my church, upon this rock. And we lost the whole idea that the Lord was really trying to establish. You see, the Christ was the one that went to the cross and died for us. And he's saying, thou art the Christ, the servant of God. Yes? And upon the foundation of this particular truth, the truth of the one who came and obeyed God to serve the people, I'm going to build my church. The church is the central service center of the kingdom of God. We're called to serve. A church that is not serving is not functioning as the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord, said, if you want to be the head honcho, learn how to be the servant. And one of the last things he did, other than ministering to them at the table of communion, was that he washed the feet of his disciples. Peter says, you can do that. You can do that. He said, if I can't do that, if I cannot serve you, you are none of me. Do you remember that? Why do you think he put that in there? If you are not serving in this body, you are not acting like you are part of this body. Everyone that God has brought into this house is called to serve. And your service is going to be sacrificial. It's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Like they say, no pain, no what? No gain. You're going to feel it. If you're serving and you're not feeling it, you're not serving. You're doing something, but you are not doing it to the point that it's going to bring any lasting change to anybody else. Hallelujah. Let love be without dissimulation, confusion. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is what? Good. Cleave to that which is good. Embrace it. Stick to it. But if it is evil, push it off. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. That's what is going to cause service. You're preferring the other person. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. I'm here to help you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to minister to you. Not slothful or lazy or slow business, but be fervent in spirit. Watch this. Serving the Lord. Because whatever it is that you do one for the other, you are doing as unto the Lord. Is that what the Word of God says? Your serving of each other is serving the Lord. Glory be to God. Now let me do something real quickly. Let me go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to take it up from about verse 10. Ephesians 4 and 10. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he distributed gifts to men, and previous verses say, even unto the rebellious. Because God wants everybody to be serving. So he even gave gifts to rebellious people. Wow. That's the importance of service. Let me put it this way. When you serve, you are more like God. Oh, no, no. That threw some people off the wagon. I grab you, put you back in the wagon. Why? God serves every day, 24/7. Say, what do you mean God serves? When you pray and God answers your prayer, what did he do? He served you. The world is all messed up, and God came. The Spirit of God brooded upon the waters, and God began to speak. Let there be light. And then he began to recreate and bring things that were hidden out of the place where they were hidden, and reestablishes them in their rightful place. And this world is here. What was God doing? Serving. God went and he planted a garden. Did he not? Yeah, he planted a garden. And then made man. And then said, the man needs a help meet fit. When you have a helper, what's that helper doing? Serving. Put them in the garden that he had planted. God named things, and then when he was about to bring the woman in, the first thing he did was to get man to be part of the service industry. He brings all these animals. And what did man do? Name them. And God says, that's the name. What did he teach the man to do? Serve. When they were not serving, they got into trouble. The enemy was able to come talk to them. And they ended up doing what they should not do. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. This is how he's filling all things. Come, come, come. Did you get that? How he's filling all things is by giving some the grace of being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. All these graces were given for the perfecting of the saints. Now that word there is not the word teleos, it's a different word, and this word means for the furnishing. For the furnishing of the people, for the work of the ministry. What is it here? He gave all these gifts so that the people can do the work of the ministry. Ministry service for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So that what happens, see, we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, that is the word teleos now, perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The way I can explain that to you right now is we have some inflatables in the banquet hall where the kids get to jump and have fun. Well, if you were to go there now, those inflatables are flat to the ground. But when air is pumped into it, I'll call that when the Spirit of God, when the Word of God comes into it, it inflates and it comes to its full stature. That makes sense? Well, that's what God is talking about. That all these giftings that He gives to us are to bring us into a place where we are united. And in that unity, guess what? The Bible says, God said, because man was united, there is nothing they could not do. When we are united, when we are ready to serve each other, when we are committed to walk together in love, we'll come into the full stature of who Jesus is. And we'll be able to do what Jesus did. But He says, when you start doing that, because I have gone up to be with the Father, fully serving you and said it is finished, you're going to do greater things, because now you and I are going to come together. My stature in the earth and my stature in above will work together, and you're going to do greater things than I did. Wow. What is stopping us? People want to get anointed so that they get known. That's what's stopping us. We become proud. Lord, give me a healing ministry. And it is not necessarily so that people that are healed are restored, but so that people will know me. I'm a healer. Well, they benefited, but you're going to get nothing, because one day you're going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, I don't know you. You did not do any of that because you were serving. You were doing it all for yourself. You got your reward already. I don't know you. But when we let God use us, we step out of the way and say, look what the Lord has done. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Let me just read through as best as I can. Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up, hallelujah, into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, pressed together by that which every joint or ligament supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of the Lord. Of itself. The building up of itself. I will build my church, and God is saying, hey, when you start serving, you're really building up yourself. You get bigger and greater and you multiply, but it's going to take you serving, not you waiting for somebody to come serve you. You be committed to serving. What has God called you to do? How has God called you to serve? I say to everyone, you've got something. If he gave gifts even unto the rebellious, and you just started coming to church day one, you've got something to serve with, because he already gave it to you even before you came in. Hello? Is there anybody here that has nothing to give in service? Raise your hand, let me see. There's no such creature. Everybody's got something to give. Bring your game. We want to see you manifest the glory of God. Amen? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, that is the Gentiles, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. Don't have your understanding, that which God has given to you, darkened. Don't become alienated from the life of God. That means to be separated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we need help as your people to surrender our lives to you. Help us, O God, to be men and women who understand the ministry of service, what you've called us to, that your name may be exalted in us and through us at all times. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Make us your church, the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask it. Amen. While your heads are still bowed, I want to ask a question. Is there somebody here today that's saying, you know, I received that word and I'm making a decision right this very moment that I'm going to be a servant of God. I'm going to use the giftings of God. I'm going to ask God to reveal his giftings to me so I can use those giftings. Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I'm believing God to use my life as his servant. If that's you, just raise your right hand. I'd like to pray with you. I see that hand right there. I see that hand. I see that hand. There's someone here today saying, I heard what you said, but I don't think I can serve. I don't think I have anything to bring to the table. I want to pray for you too. God will reveal to you what it is that you've got. I see those hands. You can put that hand down. Hallelujah. If you are that one, I don't know what I've got, and so I don't know how to serve. Pray for me. Raise your hand. Anybody like that? Okay. All right, bless you. You can put that hand down. Then I'm going to assume that everyone else that did not raise their hand is already serving faithfully in this house. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, I pray for your church. Those that are serving, that need, oh God, to have much more passion in their service. I ask, oh God, that your hand will rest upon them. And Lord, oh God, that they will elevate their game in you. For those, Father, that have not been serving, but are right now making a commitment to serve, I ask, oh God, that your hand will rest upon them. And Lord, oh God, that there will be a quickening in their spirits. Lord, oh God, to match up with that which you've called them to in the mighty name of Jesus. For those, oh God, that are not serving, that do not know what giftings they have, ask, oh God, for revelation, knowledge to come upon them, that they will be quickened and become aware of, Lord, that which you have called them to. And Lord, oh God, begin to serve in that capacity. Ask, oh God, that your hand rest upon all of your church, all of your people. And Lord, that grace abounding towards them will equip, enable, and cause them, oh God, to move speedily under the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to serve you, the only true God, as they serve your people. Thank you, Lord, for transformation. Thank you, Lord, that we're not poured into the mold of this world. We are new creations. The old is past, and all things have become new. Blessed be your holy name. Father, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. The resources that God has graced us with, we're going to release unto the Lord. As I said to us 3 or so, 4 weeks ago, I want us to be able to give towards missions. Every one of these Sunday gatherings, as often as we can. Thank God for those that have already given towards the crusade. We do need quite a bit more to accomplish all the things that we need to accomplish. As God speaks to you, help in the support for winning souls unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The children are not back in yet from their class. Probably clean. Okay. Well, well, we're just going to share in communion together. Oh, can you please get the little ones to come in, please? Let's not leave our little ones out of our communion time. Ushers, could you please let the teachers know to have the children come in? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Do the children know to come in? Please come in quickly. Well, this is the body. The body of sacrifice. The body of service. Jesus, our Lord, gave Himself to serve us so that we become the redeemed of the Lord, so that we receive our healing, our peace, our provision. As you take off this body today, may God's power envelope you, bring about a transformation in every aspect of your life. May His peace garrison your heart, and may your joy be made full. Take off this body and eat.
By his blood, my mind
is renewed.
By his blood, sickness,
disease,
pain,
sorrow,
lack,
shame,
grief,
does not dwell in me.
Death. Does not dwell in me. Poverty. Does not dwell in me.
Lack.
Does not dwell in me.
By his blood.
I've been set free.
From all problems.
From all iniquities.
From all sorrows.
By his blood.
I receive.
The full payment.
Of redemption.
I am blessed.
In this city.
And in any country.
I am blessed.
In my health.
In my pocket.
In my warehouse.
In my family.
In my finance.
In Jesus' name.
And drink if you believe. Say a big amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Make a funnel. Father, pour your resources, your giftings, the wealth of your glory into this vessel.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that I'm equipped.
Yes.
We are equipped to do your works,
yes,
to do it speedily and efficiently, as manifestations of your sons in the earth. Help us, Father,
yes,
to serve you with all of our hearts and to serve each other like we serve you, Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen,
we receive your impartation.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we'll cut off from those that are on YouTube and Facebook at this time. And just extend greetings to those.